You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be running out the door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water, and you fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick.
And
you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing on this fine weekend? As it comes to a conclusion, interesting weekend. Lots of stuff to do, huh? Lots of traffic, too. Before I introduce our guests and we get into the main topic of the evening, a couple of things. One, Dry Creek Peach and Produce is now picking their Arctic Gem peaches. It's a smaller crop than usual this year. And that's true of a number of things. I just saw headlines in the Press Democrat today that the grape crop is going to be late and light. Also, in DeVero's newsletter, it went out about a week ago, I think it is, and DeVero, of course, making really fine olive oil in Dry Creek Valley. There will be no estate olive oil from DeVero this year. And if DeVero is affected, probably everyone in the North Bay is, because the reason they're affected is it rained at exactly the wrong time. So we may not have any estate olive oil from throughout the North Bay this year. But as we get a little bit closer into what would normally be the olive harvest season, which is, you can think of it as sort of the second season, the harvest usually starts after the grapes are in, we'll get several olive growers in here. So anyway, the Arctic Gem harvest is light, but they have them. The best place to get them will be to go to the farm stand, which is open from noon to 5 on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's on Yoakum Bridge Road. You can't miss it. Yoakum Bridge goes between Dry Creek Valley Road and West Dry Creek Valley Road, and you just turn left onto Yoakum Bridge, and there it is in about, I don't know, 100 yards or something like that. Since I fell in love with that peach, I can barely eat any others. I just love it so much. And they're not really, really, really sweet yet, like they usually are in most years. And that means you might want to cook with them. Roasting them in the oven will concentrate their flavors. Also, it is a great year to make peach galette. And I'm going to be either late tonight if I have lots of energy, or maybe tomorrow, I will be making some white peach chutney. And it's sort of not all the way a fresh chutney and not all the way a preserved chutney, because I'm not going to can it. It's a chutney that is cooked. But if you know that most fruit chutneys will get a really concentrated, almost caramelized looking flavor, I don't take the peach chutney that far, because I want the I want that white peach flavor to shine through. So I have a lot of fresh serrano chilies in my white peach chutney. And I think what I will do is I will put a recipe for that on Mouthful's Facebook page in case you would like it too. So I made it with a flat of Dry Creek Arctic Gem peaches last year, and it was absolutely sensational. So if you love peaches, you definitely want to try these. And if you want more information, you can just either go to Dry Creek Peach, I think it is, or just Google it. They have a nice website that they keep up to date. And then one last thing, I think I talk about this every year in one form or another, but have you noticed the scent of fall in the air? I thought I smelled that, walked outside, Tuesday or Wednesday, in my house in Sebastopol. It's like, what? There's just some little thing in the center of the air that it signals fall. And I thought, no, it's much too early. And then yesterday I was up off of Airport Boulevard leaving my hula class. We were all walking out at about 4 o'clock and it was like, oh my God, it is the aroma of fall. And we all looked at each other and just like, no, it's too soon. But, fall is on its way. The days are getting shorter. You can feel that. And I still have not had the season's first BLT. Local tomatoes are just starting to come on. I thought there would be more of the Sebastopol Farmers Market today, and there weren't. So I'm hoping maybe next week will be the week for the first BLT of the season. One of the other foods that signals midsummer, almost like on cue every year, is the beloved Gravenstein apple. It's the first apple that comes into season. We're seeing them at the farmer's market. I had my first one last Monday picked right off a tree and put into my mouth, juice running down my chin when I took Joey for a walk a little before sunset in Sebastopol. So we have Gravenstein's down. That's a good thing because it's Gravenstein season. And we have with us Claire Odie of Juicy Ranch. Welcome to Mouthful.
Hi.
We have Paula Schenken. Paula, you're here in the capacity of Slow Food Russian River, right?
Right.
And the Gravenstein program. And then we have Mouthful friend and all-around hard-working woman, Paula Downing, manager of the three farmers markets now in Santa Rosa, and manager of the Sebastopol Farmers Market as well. So Gravenstein month is today? No, today's not the first.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow's
August 1st. Okay, yeah, so, can you believe it?
No, frankly, yeah. I can't. Yeah. But it's Gravenstein month. Is that in the whole Bay Area or just in Sonoma County? Or
well,
wherever we want it to
be. epicenter of uh-huh. Gravenstein month, maybe. And it does spread out to
the Bay
Area.
Some of the Bay Area restaurants put Gravensteins on their menu. I know Champanese does. So there'll be events at three different farmers markets.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a free Gravenstein program.
Right.
There's restaurants, and we don't know what dishes yet will be on restaurant menus, but do we know how many restaurants are participating?
We're looking. Last year we had 96, mm-hmm. and we're getting close to that now, and we just added some in Oakland.
Oh, great.
So we found a new farmer this week who moved up here to a property with 8 acres of red graves,
uh-huh.
and she lives in Oakland during the week. So she's
peddling
her apples to restaurants in Oakland.
Uh-huh.
And
that's great.
Giving them our literature.
Uh-huh. So let's talk about the farmers markets events first. What's going to be going on, Paula?
So next Sunday, August 7th, we kick off the farmers market shindigs at Sebastopol, and it's all morning from 10 to 1:30. And we have an apple pressing. We have two presses going. And so you'll be able to taste some Gravenstein juice.
Free.
Three presses going?
No, free. Free.
Oh,
we're going to give it
a free taste.
Give it away.
Yeah. And then we have Dominique Cortara with her amazing pie is coming.
Oh, she's coming with apple pie. She was a guest on Mouthful not that long ago.
She was?
Yeah, she brought her. We did a whole show on macarons.
You did?
Her macarons are amazing.
They are.
That really... changed how I think about them.
Really?
Yeah. They're extraordinary.
I always go to her pie. I have never even, have to admit, eaten a macaron.
try a salted caramel macaron.
Salted caramel macaron. Oh, yeah. She just came back from Paris.
Paris,
she went
right.
and got, you know,
yes,
whatever.
She was all a flutter with her Paris vibe and her visits to all of the macaron palaces.
Yeah.
So she'll be there with her pie.
She'll be there with her pie. She'll be at all the farmers market events selling Gravenstein apple pie. And probably other kinds too, but Gravenstein for sure. We're going to have apple in Sebastopol. We're going to have an apple pie contest.
Yes, I've been roped into participating.
Yeah, all so right. I hope that people bring apple pie to taste.
So how does that work? People just bring their...
Yeah, if you could get it there by 11 so that we could
and how
you know,
are
have
you,
a judging at
How are you getting the word out about that?
Well, I'm telling you, we put a little ad in the paper. Okay. It's on our blog. It's okay. It's around. We put a little sign at the market today.
Oh, you did? Okay, yeah. So people have found out about it in those stores. Because I can put something up on Eat This Now as well.
Would you? Okay.
Sure, absolutely.
Thank you. And we have George and Nikki from Earthworker Farm. Nikki made some she's going to make a little crown for the winner. she made a little knitted, crocheted ribbons for prizes. So it's sort of cute. The whole thing is cute.
Somebody will get an apple tiara.
Yes.
I think we should give out Save the Gravenstein bumper stickers to the winners, too. Right. We'll do that.
We'll give out Save the Gravenstein bumper stickers. And probably we'll give out some market dollars for people to spend at the market, you know, some kind of graduated. First prize gets 20, second prize will get 10. And everybody who enters can get a couple dollars worth of something to spend at the market just for fun. And we're going to have a raffle tour, which is always free at the markets. So whatever you buy, you get tickets. And then I pick names, and then I give away a whole basket of farm market food. So what else? So we have some kid apple things. We've got one of those apple peeler things so they can, you know,
the hand crank
peelers. And so they can crank, and then they can make some apple, you know, what do you call those things where you put it in ink and then you put it on the...
Oh, apple stamps?
Stamps, yeah. Oh, okay. And other little apple things. I'm not sure how far we're going to go with. And we have a balloon twister for the kids. What else are we doing? That's it, I think.
That's quite a lot.
Yeah.
That's quite a lot. Now, with the apple pie contest, is Robin in charge of that?
Robin's, she's sort of in charge of it.
Okay, yeah, because she was soliciting judges.
Yeah.
And then will people be able to taste the pies that have been entered?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Cool.
If you're in the right place at the right time.
Sure, absolutely. So, and this is all happening on Sunday, August 7th, in Sebastopol.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what other farmers markets are participating?
So the next one will be August 20th in Santa Rosa. And it's essentially the same scenario, only no pie contest, no apple pie contest in Santa Rosa.
Okay.
And then the last one will be Petaluma on August 27th.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, so you're really stretching out in a lot of the county, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nice thing about Petaluma, Kathy Tresh is there. I don't know if you know the Tresh family. They have cows, and their milk goes to Strauss Family Farm. Uh-huh. And then I forget the man's name, but she started a little orchard, so she has quite a few graves. So they're a really nice old farming family who's branched out into apples.
And
so
nice. They're somebody new getting into apples. That's just so great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Why don't we take a little break for music, and we'll come back and let's talk about how we got to the position of needing to save the Gravenstein. Was Apples by the Pickets, a band I like a great deal. So even though some grabs are falling off the tree ripe where I live, ripening is slower than usual.
Yeah.
This year.
This year is...
It's just not enough warmth.
Right. And the first are for vinegar, the mm-hmm. ones that fall are falling. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go into picking the fresh ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So where do they go to be turned into vinegar?
Well, we take them to Manzana.
Oh, you do?
For processing.
To Manzana.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then is it sold under your label, or do you sell it to...
No. No. Okay. They do it under whatever they want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, what happened with the Gravenstein? The Gravenstein is a beloved apple everywhere. What got us to the position of, oops, I know it's not just grapes. It's a combination of things.
It's a combination of things. It's a lot of it is grapes. And the Graves have a few strikes against them. They get ripe while people are eating stone fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So people's palates are kind of into the sweeter stuff
month. And they don't keep.
They don't keep. They don't ship real well. They have short stems. They fall off the tree. And a lot of them end up going for processing. And we used to have three processors in town, and now we only have one. And the price for the processing, the price that the farmers get for the processing apples is lower than mm-hmm. they need it to be. And then we have the competition from state of Washington and Chinese apples, Chinese apple juice concentrate. So
right.
It's all of that.
Yeah, and my understanding, I was talking to somebody a few years ago, is that the concentrate that that China is putting onto the market has really hurt locally, in part because, I don't know if it was in the 60s or the 70s, but at some point... my understanding is that Sonoma County producers or Sebastopol producers sort of opted to go the processing route instead of branding as fresh apples.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where that was their focus. And then Washington did more branding for uh-huh. fresh apples. Uh-huh. And then along comes China with apple concentrate. And so it's been sort of a perfect storm. And then we also forget that, but some people forget that there was a point when grapes were taken out because the grape market wasn't so good.
Yeah.
This is actually about 130 years ago, I guess. They were pulling up vineyards and putting in apple trees because they couldn't get money. They couldn't get good money for grapes. And now the reverse is happening. Uh-huh. And farmers will grow what sells.
Now, it may be that we had a member of our group of Slow Food went to Europe and Scandinavia this year and did some traveling on our behalf looking into the apple business in Europe and mm-hmm. Scandinavia. And there's a company that's marketing vinegar in a big way and making people see how they can cook it and use it in everything. And so the price of vinegar is higher. If some of the prices for the processed things that you mm-hmm. make with Graves and with apples in general were higher, then perhaps the processors would pay higher mm-hmm. price to the farmers and because the truth is there is a big percentage of the Graves crop falls on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I've also been told, discussions about this, that processors down in the Watsonville area, down where, applesauce and that sort of thing are made, that all of that applesauce... Gravenstein apple puree has to be, or Gravenstein applesauce, it's added for flavor. The really great thing about Gravensteins is their marvelous flavor. And so they'll use other apples for the most part, but then add in Gravenstein because of the taste.
The low acid makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Gravensteins are really low acid. And so you get a lot of the larger companies looking for those Graves in order to add to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you get of those processors who are looking at lower acid, the more you're going to sell for processing.
Mm-hmm.
But about the fresh market, people tried their own labels in that. And I guess, there were I call it the Wonder Bread generation. And we were all kind of grew up in our generation where we were told Wonder Bread had all these nutrients and it was good for us.
Right.
And so we all got into the processed foods and these are what we're used to and everything.
And, you know, so going into your own label and that didn't make sense because you had this enormous competition.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now we're trying to adjust those markets and to where we're showing that your local economy, your local growers and everything have much better food for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to take some time to adjust, but these two Paulas, I mean, they're really kicking butt and helping making people aware of it.
Now, what year is this in the Gravenstein Project?
I think it's at least 9, if not 10.
Yeah. Okay. And have we seen, do you know, either by statistics or by word of mouth, or from personal experience, Claire, have things begun, has the pendulum begun to swing back in favor of the Gravenstein?
Yeah, it really has.
The farmers tell us that they can pretty much sell every Gravenstein they have now. And there may not even be enough.
Oh, cool.
Now,
they're planting trees, which is big.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Now, the issue still remains about how much of what they're not getting enough. They're not getting enough money for the processed apple, and they're not getting enough money for the fresh apple.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's still issues of making a decent living on them.
Mm-hmm.
But
how much should an apple cost?
What should an apple cost?
One apple?
Or whatever quantity.
A pound.
I mean, but do it from a consumer's point of view. What should somebody who's shopping, feeding their family, but really would like to buy local, what should they expect to pay so that it's fair for everybody?
I would say $2.99 a pound.
Okay.
I mean, that would be realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a little more than the competitive market at Safeway, you know, or things like that. Mm-hmm. But
if you really care about local food sources, you're not shopping at Safeway.
No,
or you shouldn't be.
No, you're going to Whole Paycheck or Andy's. But
or you're doing most of what you're doing. Much you're buying the bulk of your food at the farmer's market.
You know,
or you subscribe to a CSA.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I shop at farmers markets a lot, and I take my mom and you know my neighbors. We mm-hmm. we go and so forth, mm-hmm. and we pay more, but we enjoy it. I mean, when you look at the budget, you may be paying more for each individual item, but I'm not buying as much.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? And it's not going to waste. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
And if you're not buying a lot of prepackaged foods and that sort of thing, because, I mean, just the cost of all the packaging and the cost of transporting and that sort of thing, I really think it evens out.
You do.
I do. Yeah. You know, it's sort of unrealistic. I spend a fortune on food.
Yeah.
But that's because I buy much more than I would buy if I was just feeding myself.
Right.
You know, I'm buying, you know, things to compare and to write about and to learn about mm-hmm. and giving it away and throwing mm-hmm. it. I have the best fed worms in the world. But, you know, that's part of what I have to do. But I think I've been doing this now for quite a long time, and I think it's quite realistic, especially now that we have things like, getting off the track of apples just a little bit, but we have so many meats of, you know, grass-fed meats, locally raised meats available. Every farmer's market just about has them.
Yeah.
And we also have meat CSAs now. We've had them, I think, for about 3 years.
Yeah.
And I joined a meat CSA. And one thing I realized, I don't eat as much meat as I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually eat less meat by having a subscription.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's all right there. So I'm not thinking and going to the store at the last minute.
Right.
You're eating what's in front of you.
I'm eating what's in front of me. And I'm eating what things to a degree that someone else is making a decision about
mm-hmm.
based on what's happening at the farm mm-hmm. on their ranch. And mm-hmm. so it's really been very enlightening and
mm-hmm.
I like it a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like I'm spending, I don't feel like I had to kick it up a notch budget-wise to participate in this meat CSA,
mm-hmm.
the meat and
mm-hmm.
chicken CSA.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we're trying to do educationally in terms of educating people about the apples is in Sebastopol, you know, everybody has a Gravenstein tree. So many people have mm-hmm. apple trees. And for years and years and years, people thought of them just as a backyard apple. And we have been trying to educate people to see that it's endangered and that it's a specialty apple and that they should value it enough to pay a little more for
mm-hmm.
it.
And are they paying attention?
It appears that they are. Uh-huh. And a lot of the farmers tell us that, you know, people come to pick up apples like Walker Ranch. So people come mm-hmm. up there to pick up apples, and they come asking about the Gravenstein, which they never used to do before. They've heard about it. They come up here to get it, and that's what we want to see. But we also realized last year that there are no farmers who raise Gravensteins who can make their entire living on just the Gravensteins.
Right.
So we made a chart, and anybody who wants to come to our booth at any of these farmers market events can get it, with a list of close to 50 varieties of apples that grow in Sebastopol, and their season and what they're good for. And we're hoping that people will learn to, this will be part of people learning to eat seasonally. And wait for that next apple and look for it.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if you do that, if you wait for that next thing, like I've been waiting for Arctic Gems uh-huh. or waiting for when a tomato is really, really good, you just, you get this sense of the year. Mm-hmm. You get a sense of the unfolding of the seasons, and it's not just four seasons. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all the little seasons. Like, what was it, Paula, maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we have Padron chilies.
Right.
You know, and at first there were just a little tiny bit of Padron chilies, and now there's a ton of them. And it's just,
you can eat them every day now.
Yes, you can eat them three times a day if you want to. So, yeah, it's really, I think, an important thing. Now, what is the... Joey actually agrees that it's quite an important thing. He's adding his opinion. He's saying, yes, Gravenstein in Docs and Talk. What's the free project?
Oh, the free project is a project where retailers on Main Street in Sebastopol, plus nonprofits like libraries, city halls, and post offices are getting boxes, beautiful wooden boxes of Gravensteins. Each one has a label with the picture and the story of the farmer who grew those apples. So let's say you're a little store on Main Street and you've subscribed to the Free Apple Project. You get a box of apples from one particular farmer, and the retailers are paying for them. And when your supplies get low, you're responsible to call the farmer and say, our supplies are getting low, and the farmers will come and refill the box. And there's a sign that says, take one, and they're free. And then we got some donations to pay for boxes in libraries, city halls, and post offices.
Wow.
And it's gotten really big this year. It's really grown, and people love it.
Okay, now that's not quite what I thought it was going to be. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So people are responding. Are they coming into businesses sometimes to get a free apple? Are they just taking them?
We try to put signage in the windows, uh-huh. and we put some of our literature next to the box of apples, and it's just another way of getting people to wake up to the fact that it's Gravenstein Month.
Mm-hmm. That is really a great program. There's another program I heard about, well, actually two others that I heard about few years ago. One was the Frutas Gratis.
You know, we haven't connected with the Frutas Gratis people.
They were for a while, and it was in conjunction with a special show at Sonoma County Museum. And it started with that, and they did an art installation project all around downtown Santa Rosa near the museum. And they put piles of fruit, and they had a food-safe ink that they stamped on all the fruit, Frutas Gratis, and then to see if people would actually take them. Uh-huh. I mean, that was part of it. It was sort of performance art. And it was such a success that they started getting donations of fruit and doing these piles, these installations, Frutas Gratis, and people could just walk up and take them. Had them on the show, and I've been trying to reach them again, and I haven't succeeded.
I haven't heard much about them this year.
Yeah, but then there was the other program where for a while, some people in Sebastopol were gathering up the apples that dropped to the ground and making juice and selling it to raise money for schools.
Yes, mm-hmm. I did read about that.
Is that program still going on?
I don't know. I think individual schools were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the fruit guys, you know about the fruit guys, Michelle?
A little bit. I know they're using one of my, I know them mostly
they're
because
using
you have
your
them
recipe.
Yes, which is great.
And they are selling 5-pound boxes of Gravensteins, and they will guarantee delivery within 2 days of picking anywhere in the state of California. And Slow Food USA is sending a letter to every Slow Food member in California because the fruit guys only deliver to California.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're helping too, getting them farther than the Bay Area.
Oh, great. You know, they did that last year. That was the first year. And how did that grow? How did that go?
It went well. Mm-hmm. It went well.
Do we know anything about how many shipments they made?
They're only going to do two. Oh, I don't know how many they did that last year. I should have known that. They're only going to do 2 weeks.
Okay.
The August 15th is the first week. Mm-hmm. So they'll
ship for 2 weeks.
Right.
Oh, cool. That is a great program.
So I don't know if you have listeners or people who do streaming who want to.
We do.
And they don't live locally and they mm-hmm. want to get a fresh 5-pound box of apples, they can go to thefruitguys.com and find how to order them.
And what I'll do, I will also post a link to the Fruit Guys on Mouthful's Facebook page. We're going to hear from Solid Air, a local band now, and I was always so flattered and thrilled when I hear this song. It really has a lot to do with what we're talking about right now, and they say it was Mouthful that inspired them to write this.
Buying up for family cars, selling up. Can blame them, wine to cash crop growing strong.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking with us. We are talking about the Grevenstein apple. Joey appears to want us to move on to another topic, but I don't think we'll be talking about dog food this evening. Maybe another time. Actually, I'm planning a show on feeding your pets. There's a company in Forestville, I believe, or at least it at least has, you know, an outlet, something. I know Forestville is involved. I think it's called Feed This, and it's part of the whole raw food movement for cats and dogs, and I've been investigating it quite a bit. So I'm going to get a couple of experts on and a couple of other people that have to do with like shifting from, you know, animal food, cat food from China. And I know that Paula, when you said that when you lived in Oregon, everybody made their pet food. They didn't buy it.
They made their own pet food, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of whatever was in the garden, or I never knew what they were cooking up in the backyard. But
yeah.
They made their own pet food, yeah.
Yeah, and since I've shifted, I'm hoping to try shifting my cats next, but since I shifted my little 12-pound miniature dachshund to a raw diet, he thrive raw homemade diet with, you know, meats and poultry raised in Sebastopol, and I put it through a grinder myself, and he gets some vegetables from the farmer's market.
Can you get him to eat zucchini?
He loves zucchini.
Look out, Michelle.
Oh my
gosh. Zucchini.
He loves zucchini. He doesn't like it raw. Uh-huh. He will eat it prepared certain ways, just zucchini. But if I put zucchini, and I do, I'll put zucchini into the mix of bones and meats, loves it. He likes green beans better. Hmm. He really loves green beans, and he likes asparagus. So anyway, we're going to do a show on that probably in the fall. But since we have Claire here, let's talk about your orchard, Justy, and how old are the apple trees?
A lot of these trees are 68 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The orchards haven't been replanted. Let's see, a lot of them, I mean, it used to all be big orchards, and then they were subdivided, 20 acres here, 10 acres here. So some of them you would consider backyard apples.
Mm-hmm.
And we might have some that are four trees, you know, and we'll go in. And
so you have several,
over
not one contiguous orchard, you have them in several spaces.
All the way from southern Sebastopol up to Forestville.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and over 200 acres.
Of
apples.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you account for a very large percentage of the apples.
I would guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We've looked at county records, and you know, we have to report them. What we grow, you know, what we harvest and mm-hmm. everything. So, yeah, we maintain the apple orchards, keep them cleaned up, harvest them. We don't do hand picking so much. And that's something that came up this year, was that the local processor wants all apples that are for juice now to be hand picked. Well, you know, that serves a problem, because when you get into ladders and hand picking takes longer, you're really going into labor cost. And,
yeah, and a lot more liability, I would imagine.
Well, some workers' companies won't even touch you.
Really?
If you're on ladders, forget it. You know, we're not going to cover you. So you have to shop around. And
what's the reason for that shift?
They said it was USDA's requirements. And, you know, I've been trying to research it, and I'm not really sure about that. But, you know, that's what we were told.
Okay. And do they send inspectors?
No. No.
Okay.
No. We have all our orchards are certified organic.
Mm-hmm.
And we do self-inspections and keep records. And we have a database based on, you know, what's going on with the orchards and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
We keep very good records.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If apples are not hand-picked, how are they picked?
They are picked by shaking.
Okay, so similar to how olives are sometimes picked.
Well, it depends on the olives, because I'm into olive harvesting, too.
Uh-huh.
And you've got to comb those things unless they're really ripe.
Yeah, there's some. I've seen some shaking in Europe.
Yeah.
And they're dead ripe at that point.
Yeah, well, yeah. We've harvested and I have a friend in Greece that harvests, and I like his practice, because I've taken the classes at UC Davis mm-hmm. on all harvesting, and I don't exactly agree with their type of harvesting. In Greece, they prune and harvest at the same time, and there's no having to go back.
Mm-hmm.
Where here, they want us to go back and prune, you know,
later. Yeah,
you know, and I'm like, that's extra labor.
Uh-huh.
Let's just get it all now.
So, is that what you're doing with your trees?
Well, yeah, we're opening a store at the Barlow in September called Via Giusti, and we'll have bulk olive oils that are fresh, local, and everywhere. And we're also going to have a mill on wheels.
Really?
So we can go straight into the groves and have the best, highest standard olive oil that you can get.
Well, breaking news here on Mouthful.
Yeah.
so how is your, I said that at the beginning of the show about Deveros not having a 2011 harvest.
Well, you know.
Oil. How are you doing this year?
I see olives, you know, on various trees this year. So, you know, it's still early. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really is. I don't think we're going to really see a lot on certain types. I'm not sure what Deveros got.
Yeah, they've got, let's see, Lucino, Moreno. Let's see, Lucino, Murillo, Frantoio, Pendolino.
And probably Abra-
And they have the fourth one, the fifth one that I always forget.
I always mispronounce it. The Abergini or whatever.
No, that one they don't have.
Oh.
It's not one that starts with an A.
That one's very common.
No, they don't have that one. They have five from the Lucca area.
Do they have
Italy.
The Corianchi, the
no.
Greek?
No. All Italian varieties.
Okay.
And there's Moreno, Lucino, Pendolino.
They have some really good Pequal.
No Pequal. That's Spanish, and that's the controversial olive. David Rosengarten, a food writer from New York, got into huge amount of trouble when he gave his opinion on
Pequals.
Yes, he said what he thought that they smelled like in front of the Spanish Olive Oil Council at the Fancy Food Fair.
And what do they smell like? What
well, according to him and according to a number of people, they smell like when you... have removed the solids from your cat box, but not the other parts. But Pequal has a very, very distinct aroma and taste, unlike any other olive. Huh. And I can't say that I think he was entirely off base in his description of the flavor.
I will.
I would have used other descriptions.
I like Pequal.
But I wouldn't have described it that way in the context.
Yeah. No.
But it takes, if you're used to, say, Italian olive oils, if you're really used to that style of olive oil, and you suddenly taste 100% Pequal, it takes some getting, your mouth has to learn its way around it, because it's different.
Well, we have a lot in the county of the very old, Paul Vossen can't even tell you what kind it is, because they're over 100 years old.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of those, and we suspect they came from Italy. But back to apples.
Well, but just before we leave,
olives,
how many olive trees or how many acres?
Well, I'm still getting contracts for them because I'm doing it just like I do all apples, where people have, you'd be surprised how many people have olives.
I have olives.
Well, you know.
Four trees.
I got 644 pounds off two trees last year.
Wow. Yeah. I have little trees.
Yeah. But the store is, and I'm planting 16 acres.
Okay, so you buy olives from a variety of growers.
Right, and local producers. And we're going to be selling them in bulk, so where you can go and fill up from the Fusti in the store. You can taste and say, hey, I like that. Mm-hmm. You can blend if you want.
And it's happening September?
Well,
that's
she's talking about September 2012.
Okay, 2012. Okay. I was starting to panic.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
2012.
Know, maybe people don't realize that a lot of the bigger apple farmers do what Claire is talking about. They have contracts with people who have a piece of property with 5 acres
Absolutely.
Of apples, and they go in and in exchange for the apples, they maintain the orchard.
Now the Duttons do that quite a lot.
A lot of people do it.
Yeah, they're not into that so much as vineyards.
Well, I know that my friends, John Boland and James Carroll, have 15 acres off of Mill Station Road.
And
I know
Duttons
that the Duttons do theirs.
Yeah. Do they have wine, too? I mean, grapes.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, the Duttons, the Cullings, the Justies. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, a few
Lee
of
Walker
us.
Does, yeah, Walker does that, too.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Stan does some.
DeVoto does some.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. But there's a lot of apples. I mean, when I first moved here back in 89, I was looking to buy, but I found this cute cottage in Guerneville, and every house out there had at least 5 or 6 Gravensteins that were supposedly planted by Luther Burbank. And it was a Luther Burbank orchard, they said. Well, you know, I'm not sure, but Well, Roscoe said it was. I trust Roscoe. He's pretty old. But, that's when I got into really knowing about apples.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where had you moved here from?
Mountain View.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So California girl.
No, Texas, actually.
Texas.
On a cattle ranch outside of Houston. Yeah. We had orchards, pear orchards, farms,
mm-hmm.
sharecropping.
So you have the apples, and you have the apple farms, the apple orchards, and you have olives. Anything else?
Pinot.
Pinot. That's right. I know. I've had I've definitely drunk Juicy Vineyards.
Oh,
absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. Definitely.
Wow. Okay. Definitely. Yeah. Because Costa Brown, that's who we sell our grapes to.
There we go. Yes, yeah. Of course.
And excellent wine. Excellent
yes.
wine.
Very, very, very
oh,
nice
you
wine.
Probably drank the Benzinger. We were vineyard designate with them.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think I may have a case at home.
Yeah, we were a double gold with them.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So now we're with Costa Brown.
Mm-hmm.
First one came out last year. Beautiful wines. I can't say enough about Costa Brown wines.
They do a really nice job. But for the last bit of time here, let's now go back to the apple. What are some of the things that you like to do with apples? Any of you? Other than just eat them.
I make a lot of applesauce.
Uh-huh.
And I have got 5 grandchildren, and I supply all of them with applesauce.
Uh-huh. And how do you like to make your applesauce?
I don't peel them, don't core them, don't take the seeds out. Put them in a pot, cut up, with some apple juice and a cinnamon stick. Cook it till it's soft and put it through a
food mill. Oh, interesting.
And then I can it.
Okay. Oh, and then you, okay.
And one, I make one really great apple cake that all my kids love, and it's just chunks of apples and walnuts and some batter around it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you just have to add that to the apple pie contest.
Really?
I've been struggling on my pie crust for 6 years. I went to 2 of Dominique's classes. I'm still not good at it, so I just go back to cake.
Okay. My favorite thing is the recipe that, to cook. On the sweet side of apples, my favorite thing is the recipe that the fruit guys are using.
Yes,
for
I
the
love
thin crusted apple
tart.
That
I have made, and it's great.
And it's kind of great. Foolproof.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
it is.
It's really kind of foolproof.
It's
and I just
great.
Love the thinness. I
uh-huh.
love the textures of it. I experiment sometimes. Not experiment. I make applesauce with, instead of adding water or apple juice, like you said, I dump in a bottle of red wine.
Ooh.
Mm. A cinnamon stick, a bottle of red wine. I cook it down, either mash it with, if I've cored them, I'll mash it with a potato masher. Otherwise, I'll put it through a food mill.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, and then what I do is I drain off, after the apples are tender, before I put it through the food mill, I'll put it through a strainer and I'll get all the liquid. And then I put that liquid back on the stove and I simmer it
Ooh.
Into it's nearly a concentrated syrup.
Uh-huh.
And after I've pureed the apples, I stir that back in and then I can it.
Wow.
It's really good.
Does it taste winey?
No.
Huh.
It tastes... No, because, first of all, there's no alcohol, because
right.
the alcohol has been evaporated. But it's... The only way I know how to describe it is, it adds a bass note.
And what kind of wine do you like to use in that?
Not a Pinot, because you lose the nuance. I'll use a Zinfandel.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use any well-made... to be totally honest, I'll use any well-made Sonoma County red wine that I don't feel like drinking.
Okay.
We all have a couple of cases of that, don't
yeah,
we?
Well, if it's too high in alcohol, if it's the kind of wine that gives you a red wine headache or something, then it's cool, applesauce. What about you, Paula? What do you like to do with apples?
I really like baked apples. I make apple pie. Mm-hmm. I have a really good, easy pie crust recipe from my Italian grandmother, which uses olive oil.
Oh.
So it's almost foolproof.
Uh-huh.
At least it is become foolproof for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like baked apples. It's easy,
mm-hmm.
and you can put ice cream on them when it's warm.
Yeah,
it tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
And when I had my kids, I made a lot more pie.
Sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But now baked apples are easy because it's just me. I can bake one or in the little toaster oven, and you have that
uh-huh.
sweet. Yeah,
cool.
That's it,
Claire.
Salads. Love them with salads. Love them with pork. You know,
yes.
Anytime I'm cooking pork, here comes out an apple.
Mm-hmm.
You know? there's so many things. I mean, if they, there's always a bowl of apples in my house, mm-hmm. always. And my boyfriend, he eats one every day at least, mm-hmm. and we're always adding them to whatever,
uh-huh.
just whatever. I've even had them in soups.
Absolutely. Oh, I make an apple chowder, apple and cheddar cheese chowder.
Oh,
that is
that
really good.
Awesome.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And then the other thing I really like to do, and you can go as fancy as you want with this, but if you slice some apples really thinly,
yeah.
saute, brown them in butter, and then you take butter, a tiny bit of salt, and some good black pepper.
Yeah.
Then you take them out of the pan, but you leave the butter and everything, and you pour in some apple juice and some apple cider vinegar, uh-huh. and some whole black peppercorns, and you simmer that down until it's a syrup.
Oh.
So then, you strain it to get the peppercorns yeah. out. You strain it so you have these warm golden brown apple slices that have been sautéed in butter, and you have this vinegar, pepper, apple. Not, I shouldn't say applesauce, a sauce
yeah.
that is a little tangy, but it's sweet and it's peppery, and that's the bed. And then to put on top of it, you can do something. You can do roasted chicken, and you can make enough of that sauce that you glaze the chicken with it. You can do quail, which is even better, or if you really want to show off and indulge, seared foie gras.
Oh.
And that's how I originally developed the recipe yeah. was for seared foie gras. And you just, yeah. you know, you get that pan really hot. You do 30 seconds on either side of the foie gras. You put the foie gras on top of the apples, and then you pour the sauce over. It is a perfect, perfect dish. It's really sensational.
Wow.
Joey loves it, too.
Whenever we eat olive oil, my breakfast now usually consists of some good bread, but apples and olive oil.
Apples and olive oil.
For breakfast. Uh-huh. Or any fruit I have, uh-huh. and olive oil in the morning, because of the health effects the olive oil has.
Yeah.
You cook it? Do you cook it?
Or
do
no,
it
you can't. Just, I just eat
but she has beautiful skin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But, yeah, the olive oil, I really, you know, I think makes a big difference in hair, nails, everything. Okay. Yeah, and digestion.
Yeah, and especially olive oil that hasn't been heated.
Oh,
you know, not
well,
cooked.
Olive oil, to make good olive oil, you have to process within 24 hours.
Yes.
And
you have to process immediately and no heat at all.
None.
And you lose a lot of the health benefits if you use that olive oil in cooking.
Yeah. The polyphenols surround the cells,
mm-hmm.
and they help protect from the bad things entering your cells.
So,
you want the freshest as possible.
Fresh, yes.
Get the most polyphenols.
I can't wait for this whole Barlow project.
It's exciting.
Is it all the way full green light?
I think so. I mean, you know, there's always things to do with planning. And
but it's moving ahead.
But he's definitely moving ahead, yeah. Energetically, right. It's really, he's really excited. I'm really excited. He just took over. The people who made the bottle caps are vacating that whole other part of the Barlow. So he's very excited about that because it opens up more space. Mm-hmm. And we're going to move there. The farmer's market is, we're going to move there this winter, I think.
Really?
I'm going to see him next week to see about a contract.
So we might have a year-round
market. We might have a year-round market this winter. Yeah.
Praise all the good
fairies.
Like
90%. I'm going 90%.
Well, I signed my
lease.
Huh? I've signed my lease, and I'm hoping.
You did? Yeah.
I planned it so the farmer's market's right there in front of my door.
This is going to be a really exciting thing for Sebastopol.
Oh, wow.
Really exciting.
Wow. You know, it's kind of, you couldn't have asked for a more amazing thing to come to us is this young guy who's visionary. He mm-hmm. got the vision. He bought the vision.
Name?
People talk to Barney Aldrich. He's in his 40s. He's not very old. And he bought the vision. Different people talked to him about the idea. And he went, oh, I like that idea. And then mm-hmm. he picked up the ball and ran with it. He's a Capricorn. He's really sort of tenacious and, you know, stick to the road. And he's been talking to people for 4 years. And he just signed another winery. So he's got two wineries going.
That's great.
In
and I know
now,
that
so they'll pay the rent.
That
you know what I mean?
Victorian Farmstead wants to go in
uh-huh,
with a butcher
yeah.
shop.
There's some, the lady who makes the Claire is going in with her olive oil. There's people who make ravioli. There's quite a bit going uh-huh. on in there.
And what about
the food?
The people that want to do apple slicing and the...
Well, I'm not sure if he's signed them yet, but he's been talking to them. There's a... What are they called?
Buckaloo Centers?
Yeah,
you know
the Buckaloo.
Is? It's...
They do social services for... Yeah. People who need social services.
From what I understand, it's a large, it's an investment group that uses some of their proceeds to help people with special needs operating a business like cutting apples or landscaping, things like that. That's what I understand.
Yeah. Interesting.
I might be wrong.
Well, we're going to have to do a whole hour. You're going to have to help me get Barney in here, because now we are just about out of time. So very quickly, let's sum up. We have Gravenstein Apple Day taking place at 3 farmers markets in Sonoma County in August, which starts tomorrow. The first one is on Sunday, August 7th in Sebastopol. That market runs from 10 to 1:30. August 20th in Santa Rosa, that market, by then the fair will be over, so they will be back to staying open at 1 o'clock. So that's 8:30 in the morning until 1 o'clock. No pie contest there, though. And then August 27th is in Petaluma. That market takes place, is it 2 or 2:30?
2 to 5.
There at Walnut Park. It's a great little market. Very, very well attended. Great vendors there. So on that note, thank you so much for giving me some of your Sunday evening.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening. And we will be back next Sunday with another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour here on KRCB. Have a great week.
Cherry pie, na 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 na, cherry, na na na, cherry pie. Oh, so good, na 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 na, whoa whoa, sugar, na na na, sugar plum, na 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 na, sugar, na na na, sugar plum, na 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 na, sugar, na na na, sugar plum. Jack Horner sat, sat, sat in the corner eating his cherry, cherry pie. I didn't put in a thumb, I didn't pull out a plum. I guess I'm not as great as you. Whoa, whoa, give me, no, no, give me some.
Support for Mouthful on KRCB came from Barndiva Restaurant in Healdsburg. Farm-to-table dining in the gardens for lunch, Sunday brunch, or dinner, and live music on Wednesdays. Reservations or private events information at barndiva.com. More Mouthful next Sunday night at 7 o'clock.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing,
to the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. To the Lord let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher says. Time for dinner now, let's go. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the
Let it be.
It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat.
We got some beans
and good corn bread. Listen to what the preacher says.
Shout out to the Lord. Praise His name.
Praise His name.
Now let's go.